Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for the message. Now, last week, I began preaching on this subject, the necessity of right doctrine. And today's message is a follow-up to that message, and we'll conclude it today. The necessity of right doctrine, that's the title. And my text in the scripture is 2 John, verse 9. The book of 2 John, verse 9. I'll give you a minute to turn there if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Let me once again express our appreciation for our viewing audience. We're glad that you could join us and glad that you tune in each Sunday. As you know, as I've said, that Reign of Grace Ministries is an evangelistic tool of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. That's the church that I pastor, Eager Avenue Grace Church. And many of you who watch this program may live close enough to come and visit us in our church services on Sunday morning. We have a 10 o'clock Bible study, and then we have an 11 o'clock main worship service. And we would certainly be glad to have you join us in that service and come and hear the gospel preached and study the Bible. And also, I'd like to mention, too, that those services on Sunday morning, the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock, are live streamed, or I guess the term would be streamed live on the internet. And if you have a computer or a television capable of getting to the internet, you can watch these services live at 10 o'clock and at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning as we meet to worship, preaching the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ and worshiping the Lord. So we invite you to do that, and also visit our websites. We have so much that we can offer as far as the gospel message and Bible study, and we'd be glad for you to take advantage of that. Well, let's get to the message, the necessity of right doctrine. I want to read 2 John 9 again. This passage here is really instructive concerning the church in the last days, beginning in John's time and leading up to the second coming of Christ. And John's day was fraught with false preachers who claimed to be Christian but were not, who denied the doctrine of Christ. And so he instructs the church here. He says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Now read verse 10. He says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," this teaching. Now you know the word doctrine means teaching. "Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." In verse 11, "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker," or a sharer, "of his evil deeds." Now, there are several things here, and I'll repeat some of what I said last week. But first of all, last week I talked about the doctrine of Christ, and I'm going to talk about that more. How we can look at it, number one, the doctrine of his person. Number two, the doctrine of his finished work of redemption. Who is Jesus Christ? Secondly, what did he accomplish on Calvary's cross to save his people? And then thirdly, when we talk about the teachings of Christ concerning obedience and worship and service, all of those things, we could go on and on. Doctrine simply means teaching. And there is false doctrine. But then there's the true doctrine that we gain from the Scriptures, the Bible. And so many people today, just like in John's time, they claim to be Christian, but they're either ignorant of or they're in open rebellion to the doctrine of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ, for example? I talked a lot about that last week. He is God and man in one person. Every bit God in every attribute of deity, every bit man in every attribute of humanity, yet without sin. And that's what he had to be in his person in order to save God's elect. That's how he had to exist as God-man. He went to the cross as God-man. And he suffered unto death, even the death of the cross, to satisfy the justice of God and pay for the sins of his people and establish in that work an everlasting righteousness of infinite value whereby God could be just and justify the ungodly. You see, salvation is totally by grace. It's not grace plus works. It's not grace plus faith. Now, understand what I'm saying now. Is it necessary that we have faith? Yes. But it's not the faith that saves us. It's grace that saves us through faith. And there's a difference. And I'm not just splitting hairs there. But salvation is all of grace based on not our faith. It's all of grace based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire merit of his obedience unto death to secure the salvation of God's elect. Now, who are God's elect? Well, there are those who believe. Do you believe? What do you believe? Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. But here he tells them, he says, now, if somebody comes to you and doesn't bring this teaching, this truth, don't receive him into your house and don't bid him Godspeed. Now, he's not telling believers here that they can have absolutely no association with unbelievers or that no unbeliever can come into their home. What he's saying here is this, we who believe the true doctrine of Christ, the gospel of God's grace in Christ, can have no religious fellowship with unbelievers. We can help them, we can work with them, we have family members who are unbelievers, and we can love them, we can do whatever we, but we can have no religious fellowship or give them no religious support. Because he says in verse 11, he that bids him Godspeed, that is, pronounces blessings upon him in his false message, you're a sharer of his evil deeds. A false gospel is an evil thing because it leads men and women down the broad road that leads to destruction. Speaking peace where there is no peace is an evil thing because it serves to encourage people in a false profession of faith. So we're talking about the doctrine of the gospel, how God saves sinners and what that means. And last week I had you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to continue there just a moment in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul the apostle is writing Timothy, instructing him on how to pastor a church, how to lead people. And he says in verse 3, this is 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, John says there's coming a time as we grow, as we progress through the new covenant time period, which that's what we're in now. And as we get closer to the end of the age, the second coming of Christ, people will not endure. They won't put up. They won't listen to. They won't believe and tolerate sound doctrine, right doctrine. And I mentioned this last week. There are so many people who call themselves Christian today who are so ignorant of the Scriptures and ignorant of the doctrine of Christ. And then there's so many others who are not necessarily ignorant, but just flat rebellious about it. No way I believe that. Sometimes on this program, I'll talk to you about the doctrine of election, and I've had people write in anger, say, I don't believe that, that's not fair, blah, blah. What does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach? Whether I like it or you like it or believe, what does the Bible teach? That's what we've got to be concerned with. And the Bible teaches the doctrine of election, that God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. And that's what the Bible teaches. Now, people say, well, if that's true, then it doesn't matter what I do, doesn't matter what... No, the Bible also teaches that men are responsible and accountable to seek the Lord and believe. You say, well, I can't justify that in my mind. It doesn't matter what you can justify in your mind. It doesn't matter what preachers can figure out and explain to you in a rational way that'll bring it down to our level. No, sir. All that matters is what the Bible teaches. And that's what I emphasize on this program. That's why we have this program. You see, there are things that I look into the Scripture and they just baffle me. But I can't deny that the Bible teaches them. Because I believe this is God's Word. You say, well, it's pretty humbling, you know. You know, God lives in His realm and He's high above us. And you say, well, if I can't figure it out, I won't believe. Well, you might as well just claim to be an atheist. There's a multitude of things. There's a lot of paradoxes in the Scripture that our human minds can't figure out. But I know this. This book teaches that God chose a people. And I know this. I want to be one of them. How about you? Well, what do they do? Well, what do the elect of God do? Well, what does the Scripture tell us in so many places? But I'll give you one example. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, where the Apostle Paul wrote that we're bound to give thanks, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the praise of the glory of His grace. And what that's talking about is God's elect will be born again and they'll seek the Lord. Now you seek the Lord. I'll seek the Lord that He may be found. Now you say, well, I'm not going to endure that. Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's what the Scripture says. Salvation, all of grace, not conditioned on the sinner, but conditioned on Christ. You say, well, what about our faith? Well, God the Holy Spirit brings His people to believe that Christ met all conditions and that their salvation is secure in Him. You say, well, I'm not going to endure that. Well, there it is. There's coming a time when they won't endure sound doctrine. Look at verse 3 again of 2 Timothy 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own unlawful desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, you know what an itching ear is? It's one that needs to be scratched. That's a metaphor. In other words, if I'm telling you the truth and you don't want to hear it, what do you normally do? What do people normally do? They go find a preacher, a teacher, or a mentor that'll tell them what they want to hear. That's scratching the itching ear. You see, what I need and what you need is not someone who will tell you what you want to hear. I need and you need someone who will tell you what you need to hear. And I need to hear this. I need to hear that God is absolutely sovereign in all things, that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He declares the end from the beginning. I can't understand it all. I can't figure it all out, but I know it's true because this book says it. God chose a people. He sent Christ to die for those people specifically, and Christ secured their salvation, and they will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, come to believe in Him, rest in Him, and submit to Him as the Lord their righteousness. I know that's so. And all I know in my mind and in my heart, that's what I want. I desire that. And I know this. The only reason I desire it is the grace of God. Left to myself, I wouldn't desire it. Because I'm a fallen sinner. I was born dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, I had no righteousness. By nature, I couldn't work a righteousness. And by nature, I didn't want righteousness God's way. I can prove that to you because I rebelled against it for years until God stopped me and brought me down off my high horse and caused me to submit to His grace in Christ Jesus. That's the whole thing. Here's what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm telling myself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But who is He? What did He do? Why did He do it? Where is He now? You see, it's not just saying the name Jesus. Back in the 80s, they had what they called the PTL Club. What a heresy. Praise the Lord. Yes, we praise the Lord. But they used it like some kind of a magic formula. Just look up in the air and praise the Lord. Listen, praise the Lord is real worship that comes from the heart in knowledge of who God is, according to this book. It's not just saying words, like magic words, like some kind of mantra. That's paganism. Who is the Lord? What is He? What does the Lord mean? It means Jehovah, the Lord our righteousness, God who saves, the Redeemer, the God-man, who secures my salvation by His blood, who justifies me by His righteousness imputed. All of these things. And it's not complicated, but it's true. So people who don't want to hear this, they go find somebody who will tell them what they want to hear. They turn their ears away from the truth, and they turn unto fables. Now, the word fable there doesn't mean like Aesop's fables, like animal stories. It means lies, religious lies. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how I can make the difference between saved and lost. Tell me what makes me feel good. Tell me what all I've done for, you see what I'm saying? That's fables. You see, this doctrine of Christ is about Him. It's all about Christ. I had a lady one time years ago, after I finished preaching on a particular subject, she said, "You don't have anything good to say about anybody." I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Who?" And I said, "The Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a lot of good to say about Him." One old preacher said one time, he said, "Preaching the gospel is just getting up and bragging on Christ, not bragging on men." Well, it is. Telling people who He is. Well, what about this right doctrine, the necessity of right doctrine? Well, let me give you some things here. Right doctrine is necessary for salvation. Did you know that? Now, that doesn't mean that salvation is just simply a doctrinal matter, and it's a matter of just learning certain sets of doctrine. No. And it doesn't mean that doctrine saves. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, doctrine doesn't save you." No, Christ saves you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. But the only way you're going to understand and know the Lord Jesus Christ is through the doctrine of Christ. Let me give you a scripture here. Romans chapter 6. This is Romans 6, verse 17. And it says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." Now, a servant of sin there is an unbeliever. You were unbelievers. "But you have obeyed from the heart." The heart is the mind, the affections, the will, the inner man. "You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." A servant of righteousness is a believer, follower of Christ. You were a believer. You were an unbeliever, rather. But you obeyed from the heart. Now, what heart is that? That's the new heart. That's the regenerate heart. That's the born-again person. That form of doctrine, that word "form" there, is like a stamp, an identifying mark, which was delivered to you. Literally, that would read, "which you were delivered to." You were brought under the preaching of the gospel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, that gospel was made the power of God unto salvation. And you believe. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." There's the doctrine. The righteousness of God. Well, what is the righteousness of God? It's the work of Jesus Christ on the cross to save His people. It's the work of Christ on the cross to put away their sins and drink damnation dry for them. It's the work of Jesus Christ to establish the only righteousness whereby God can justify them and still be God. It's His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to them. And they receive Him by faith. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see, if you've been given a new heart, what does that heart do? It's a contrite heart. It's a broken heart. It's a penitent heart. It's a believing heart. And how do I know I've been born again? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another one. Right doctrine identifies and distinguishes the true Christ. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, listen to this. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 11. He said, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The single message of Saul of salvation, singly in Christ. And he says in verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with. The King James Version has in italics him, it should be me. Paul's saying, you might well bear with me. In other words, not everybody who claims to be preaching Jesus is preaching the same one. There are other ones. They're false counterfeit Christ. How do you know the difference? By the doctrine of Christ. There are people who come by another spirit, not the Holy Spirit. How do you know the difference? The Holy Spirit, who convicts of sin, will cause you to find no salvation, no comfort, no peace, no relief, except in the true Christ, according to the doctrine of Christ. And then there are other gospels. There's gospels of free will. There's gospel of salvation by grace plus works. There's gospels of decisionism. But there's only one true gospel. And that's the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. It's the gospel of God's grace in Christ, which teaches all of salvation on Jesus Christ alone and Him alone. You see, my friend, there are false gospels. Paul talked about that in Galatians chapter 1. He said, if they come preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached, let them be anathema. Salvation by grace plus works, salvation by free willism, salvation by the law are all false gospels. There's only one true gospel, which teaches of how grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the doctrine of Christ. The sovereignty of God, the absolute depravity and sinnerhood of man, that God chose a people, gave them to Christ before the foundation of the world, and sent Him to redeem them in full by His blood, the righteousness which He established, and by which they're justified, and the new birth. You must be born again by the Holy Spirit, else you cannot see, understand, or enter the kingdom of God. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we might know Him. The preservation of God's people by His grace as they persevere by His grace unto the end. These are all the doctrines of Christ. Doctrine of Christ. It's not doctrines back here in 2 John 9. It's singular. It's one doctrine because they all go together. Have you ever considered these things? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Really is. He's God in human flesh without sin. What did He accomplish on Calvary? The complete salvation of all for whom He died. He established righteousness for them, and it's imputed to them. And out of His death comes life, the new birth by the Holy Spirit. Why did He do all that? For the glory of God and for the salvation of His people. Where is He now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Is He coming back again? You bet He is. That's the doctrine of Christ, the second coming of Christ. Those who believe He's not coming back, They don't believe the doctrine of Christ. They don't believe the gospel. He's coming again to receive his people unto himself, gather them all together in a glorious, glorious church, and they'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming again to judge the wicked, to place them under the judgment that they are already under, the wrath of God, and condemn them to eternal death. You see, that's the gospel, even including the judgment. But you see, you say, well, what's good news about the judgment? Well, here it is. Every sinner who stands before God at judgment in Jesus Christ has the assurance and the peace of knowing that they've already been judged. When? By God through Christ on the cross. My sins were laid upon him. His righteousness is charged to me. And therefore, I'm already judged. I stand in Christ. That's why Paul wrote, he said, that I may know him and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. You see, by grace are you saved. Through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the doctrine of Christ. Now, what did John say? He said, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. In other words, he's in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that fellowship is based on light, which is truth. And truth is doctrine. Don't be of that number who will not endure sound doctrine. But be of those who are in that doctrine, in Christ, and have fellowship with God. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.